Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of Adventures into Reality. This is going to be a reading show today. So we're going to be joined by a caller, the first live caller of this year. As we all know, the people that are read on these calling shows are part of the League of Consciousness Explorers. And if you are interested in getting to be a part of a live reading show, you can go to the website under the Resources tab or inside League of Consciousness Explorers, and you can put in your dreams or your first 10 minutes of the day. I do look through each and every one before a person comes on, because each and every person is a teaching in their own way, shape, and form. For people that have been a part of the archives for a long, long, long time, you're going to love these different shows that are coming through, and this is a reading show. So to start it off, we're going to get people centered and focused. Because what is going to be happening is you're going to be seeing the talent in action, in form, in process. And one of the things that I do during this process is I ask the person, you know, what's connected you to the material? Because that right away brings their heart space forward, what's active within them. And then I wonder and I look, what abilities does this person have? And I look into their DNA memories and I allow those initial DNA memories, separate of the Akashic record, to show the level of polarity or how much into unity that individual being is. So that's the first few seconds of me reading that individual person. And as I go forth and forth and forth, it gets deeper into the seeking of what that person is individually looking for. Everything must be applied to the now. So I'm looking at the infinite record, translating it into this finite English, so that the person that's in the other side of the reading has something to take home with them, something to do with themselves. All right, everybody, so just sit back, relax, and I want you to imagine a big, giant ray of sun, a big beam of sun hitting you on the face, taking away all the stress, all the need of bills, all of those other things out there that would lead you away from hearing your own heart truth. Just allow yourself to get this beam of light drawing on your face. Feel the warmth on your face. Allow the skin on your face to be just nurtured by the energies of the sun. Feel your crown chakra just light up as it's filled with this glorious sun energy. Allow it down to your chin, to your ears, to your shoulders, to your throat, and into your heart, and deep into your internal organs. Through your arms, through your chest, through all of your bones, into your hips, into your thighs, into your quads, into your knees, calves, ankles, and toes. And so you are surrounded by a big, giant beam of sunlight that is reminding you to be here in the now. In the here and the now is where all of the information that is in the infinite Akashic record exists. So I want you to join me as we begin this process of opening up the Akashic records. First thing I experience through the sunlight is a refreshing understanding that we are unlimited beings. And the old me that was in time, and the new me that's in time, because we are ever-present co-creative beings moment to moment, is now free of that energy of the system. And we can begin to hear the different synopses of silence that come through the tangents of our different mind thoughts. And we can slow these mind tangents down until we stand between the doorway of two worlds, that which is matrix and that which is infinite. And when we stand between that doorway of two worlds and we expect silence and only see silence and only hear silence, only understand silence, because we are the controllers of both of those worlds, the dream and the real. And which one is the dream and which one is the real determines how much in different worlds you want to play. Many, many, many readings, I get people that have very hard issues remembering dreams. I can't tell you how many people tell me I haven't remembered a dream in months or years. When you are like that, that means you're disconnected from your Kundalini natural dreaming experience, and you need to take extra, extra care of your sacral chakra and your root chakra. I have described hundreds of times about using silver, salt, and sage on the back of your neck, or on the back of your tailbone. If you're one of those people that wants to regain your dreams, the answer is there. There are countless numbers of stories and testimonials inside the League of Consciousness Explorers, as well as people that have been live and the people that have their sessions. It works. It works because it begins to neutralize the energies there. Salt is the great neutralizer. Sage is the great releaser of density energies in silver, beautiful metallic energy that helps us get back to the dense, pure lightness that we are. When we are more dense light, but not dense in darkness, we are dense in the power of the sunlight here manifest on this world. And that is what silver represents. Those three S's, silver, salt, and sage, you have that alchemy at your hand. Alrighty, so we are going to bring the caller in. So, Kat, do you want to bring the caller in? And just a second here, we'll be getting the caller in. I thought I was going to go a little bit more, but in these live shows, you roll with everything that you have because we are that special show, because it's an adventure into reality, and it's a time that the seekers and finders are wondering what layers of truth are out there. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
And your name is Corliss?
Yes, it is.
How did you find out about me?
My daughter stumbled upon the Lance White interview that you did with him last summer, I believe.
It was 2 years ago, 2013, yes.
Yeah, and so I saw it last summer, and I was just totally blown away. It was amazing. So now my son and my daughter are following you, and I just kept going. I joined the league, and I just watch everything I possibly can.
Very good. So what about the material has jumped out to you?
Well, it's so expansive. For as long as I can remember, I've never really bought into this whole matrix thing, but I didn't quite identify it as that. So what you did is it's just expanding this consciousness and making me feel validated, I guess. It's such a growing thing, and that's what I want.
I'm here in typing. All right. So, can you hear me now? Caller, are you there? Caller? We will get the call. There you go. I hear you now. Okay, so you found out about me through the Galactica story, and the great expansiveness is what is connected to you. So have you heard me do readings then?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, so you've heard me do readings before?
Oh, yeah, I have. I've heard many readings, yeah.
Okay, so you have the Akashic record of this world and 20,000 other worlds open to you. What kind of questions do you have?
Well, I had a list of questions, but then I had a really strong experience this past Sunday where I was looking at the night sky, a picture of the night sky in New Mexico of Milky Way, and all of a sudden, I had this huge feeling of Hawaii, the big island in Hawaii. And I had been there a few years ago, and I had had a really strong experience with two Hawaiian priests there. And I got this photograph out, and I was so overwhelmed. I felt there was a presence in my art room, and I felt that I had to go back there. Strong, and it stayed with me the whole day. and it still was me, and I felt like I was called, somebody was calling me, something else was calling me back there.
So you're feeling like something's been pulling you back there to the Big Island of Hawaii.
Yeah, and I haven't really been thinking about it that much about Hawaii, because this happened about 7 years ago when I had this experience at the volcano Kilauea, and was given a flower by one of the priests, and the flower, and all of a sudden this just came up just out of the blue, and now I'm wondering about this. So I guess that's a question I have.
A lot of people are drawn to Hawaii for many, many different reasons. The first reason, it's about the migration patterns of life. Before you were a human being, you lived under the water, and before you lived under the water, you were something else above the ground or something else below the ground. And there's different ways of spiritual expression. There's the two-legged, the four-legged, the winged, the finned, and then the subterraneans. The subterraneans, the winged, the finned, and the two-legged, their worlds all meet in Hawaii, in those islands of Hawaii. It is a classic Lemurian crossover point where dimensions connect to all the other dimensions. There's portals everywhere there. Outside of the islands of Hawaii, in those territorial waters, are womb chakras, W-O-M-B. I talk about them frequently in the Galactic History Creation. There are 200 womb chakras spread across Earth, and there is a cluster of 7 womb chakras in and around the entire Maui, Kilauea, Kauai, Lanai, Big Island, Molokai, all throughout there. And sometimes they move 30, 40 miles to the east or west, north or south, depending on how powerful the grids and the ley lines are. And when the whales and the dolphins come there to breed and seed and go through their process, and the tuna and all of the other things that go there, they are interacting. Their DNA skin suit is activating with the womb chakra. So when people go to Hawaii, some go there for that experience of vacation on the beach, but have no idea that in their mind they're connecting to the whales that are mating out there.
Yeah.
Right now is mating season for the whales in Hawaii, classic. When you look out into the oceans of Hawaii and you see a whale tail come up, that's something that's recently giving birth. It was a different whale. Or the different spinner dolphins, the way that they sleep before they give their birth. It is the ancient habit patterns being played out through their DNA skin suits, and our ancient habit patterns as being coast watchers, fishermen, or just a person that was in healing, looking out and watching the animals of the ocean become their own great sentience in their own mating dance in the sea of predatory life, at the same time having the perfect sacred space to give birth to their different groups and clans. And this is what Hawaii represents, the great migration pattern where souls can go from subterranean life and be direct born into underwater life and then be direct born into surface life. So your draw to Hawaii is hundreds and hundreds of lifetimes where you went on long spiritual journeys as a female and a male shaman in different lifetimes to find the great fertility grounds. In hundreds of times of those thousands of journeys that you did, you ended up in Molokai, Hawaii, Oahu, Lanai, and some of the smaller islands that are not even very much known. And you would take people with you, specifically men who are part of great ancestral lineages who are fertile because their DNA was exposed to something that made them sterile permanently, so that their soul family could never incarnate in this world again. But if those beings went through a great journey through the different sacred spaces and ended up at a fertility place, they could ascend or descend. Ascend is the wrong word. They can go into a different body form and make new ancestors as if they've never left the world. So it's a way to get past the way the system that was locking out all the great DNA ancestral lineages, that they can go on these really, really long journeys. And as I said, many times they'll end up in Hawaii or Thailand. But the one that was in Molokai, this is the one that comes through you the most. And one of the reasons the leper colonies were actually put there was to lessen and dampen the amount of healing energy that was coming out of the womb chakra that was on the East Peninsula. It's where you regenerate your ability to cross spiritual species. That's the big thing that people have to understand about Hawaii.
Wow.
Do you have any questions about that?
No, I don't think so. I mean, that answers a lot to me right there. It really does. Yeah, I think I'm okay with that.
Okay. Well, I've got some more information for you when it comes to Hawaii in general. I have a lot of private people that come for sessions for me, and I can't tell you how many of them need Hawaii energy or just need an island energy. It doesn't have to be Hawaii, an island. Why? There are many, many lifetimes that you grew up on the coast. And when you live on an island that's not connected to tens of thousands of other acres of land or tens of thousands of miles of land, you are in the full tidal force energy. And that is when the shaman within you can release the densest amounts of soul energy to achieve the greatest lightness of heart and mind and space within mind to create heart space and sacred space. It's when you're connected to the infinite ocean and all the sentient beings already in unity with it in your private little place on that island, where the island is your entire control surface to communicate with all of the undersea beings in unity and community, and to discover a natural sacred application of your specialness through prayer, through meditation, through ceremony. And that conscious application of the sacred takes shamanic practice, magical practice, spiritual practice, healing practice, writing, kicking, whatever it is that you do takes it to the highest level, as you're connected to the most amount of earth-programmed water, not human-programmed water, coming to you from different well systems.
Oh my gosh, that's really something.
Huh. Right. So what other kind of questions do you have?
Well, another strange thing that happened that I a couple of months ago, I read an article about the Arctic, and I also felt drawn there above the Arctic Circle, and I was in New Mexico at the time, and I returned to Alberta where I live, and this kept bothering me, and I finally researched it, and I felt also that I had to go up to the Arctic Circle to the Beaufort Sea, so I am going to go there at the end of March, and it's just something that I just feel really compelled to do.
Are you going to the Beaufort Sea in March, or are you going to the Antarctic in March?
No, the Arctic. I'm sorry, the Arctic. I'm going to the Beaufort Sea to a place called Tuktoyaktuk.
So you're going to go to Tayatuk, Canada?
Yeah,
I know that place. Very special place.
Oh, wow, really? Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. I know that place. It's very special. All right. You have an opportunity to connect to your highest levels of ancestors here. You're going to be at the place where just gigantic volumes of solar energy from the solar flares are going to be flooding in at the North Pole, creating an aurora borealis that is going to be mind-blowing. Okay. It would be really, really important for you to write early in your process to go out and get some really good magnets. I'm going to hold up in the video screen here. People have seen me do this before. These are little sphere magnets. If you're going to do anything with the sun and especially up in that area, you need to get a piece of very powerful magnetite or hematite. And begin using it a tremendous amount before you go there. When you get there, by holding that magnetic resonant hematite in the North Pole, in that area of the Beaufort Sea, during solar storms that create aurora borealis, you will have an amplification tool to your dream world. You will dream better. You will sleep better. Your blood will work better. And you will connect deep and deep to your ancestral dreams. What I could recommend is with that hematite is you give your prayers and you just see yourself holding that stone 1 month, 2 months from now, in March from now, you're holding that stone looking up into the great skies and interacting at a soul frequency with that magnetic resonance that is that stone.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Wow. Have you been there?
Yes. A very strange and unusual story that is not set for air, but it's an amazing place. It is a deep ancestral connection for myself, and it is one of those stories that will wait for the memoirs. I have a question for you now. What has actually drawn you to that area of the Beaufort Sea? I really, really want you to look in deep, deep.
Something about the land up there. It's something there.
Right.
There's
something there you need to see. And this may be a little tough. Have you ever been to the ancient monuments in Europe or anything like that and seen them on display? Anyone, any of the ancient monuments from Rome or Greece or Byzantium, you know, the ancient.
In Rome, I went years ago.
They're just basically like a giant museum. They're not really used for what they're used for. And a lot of people have very not too good experiences at some of these places. And I'm not saying you're not going to have a good experience. You're going to be going there with a sole expectation of seeing giant cities, and they're not going to be there.
Giant cities?
Oh, yeah. Giant cities that essentially, how do I describe them? You are not the first person that has had this drawing to go to the poles, because the air cities that I've spoken about are the great crystal cities that are in the Dove Subterraneans haven't physically manifested yet. And those special crystal cities that your soul is expecting to see aren't on the physical material plane yet. Our species hasn't gone through enough letting go of separation of densities and allow the lightness of heart to reconnect to what the poles really mean. The poles are where water is being reprogrammed by the heart space of Earth along with the ancestors of the Earth. And there are special cities that are designed there that are third-dimensional cities. They're similar to ours, except they're made out of ice that has crystals embedded inside the ice, so it's like an ice organite. And there they create water in future programs and observe time through something called the psychic telescope. And the psychic telescopes exist on the North Pole and the South Pole, and it's allowed for a way for human beings that are existing in cities, which are our dream realm. They're able to remote view, remote experience, or directly project themselves to any point in space-time in any universe. Not just this universe. That's how important these psychic telescopes are. It allows them to see deep into some ancient future so that they can predict a path to get themselves there, because they are programming the very nature and elements of the universe. It is also a place where they make crystalline ships out of water. Water that turns to ice that has different energetic beings that go into the ice, and then the ice changes form back to energy, and then they can create bigger and bigger expressions of vessels that are made out of ice that can be tens of thousands of miles long that they should use. And your soul has a very deep expectation of seeing these things there. You've interacted with them many, many times. I see large volumes of ice vessels through your history, where water was taken from Earth to another planet to seed another planet with new life through its water. And you are one of those chief captains that would create an ice vessel that could be thousands of miles long, that could go to the North Pole of another planet and be turned into snow that would then be rained snow down onto the caps of the planet and be brought into their environment.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing. Wow.
Wow. Oh. So, another question. When you get there, what was your goal?
I'm sorry. What go was ahead.
what was your goal of going there? What did you want to do? Did you want to kiss the ground and do a ceremony? What was your goal?
Well, I wanted to see the Aurora Borealis, number one, very, very much. And I've always been very connected to Native people ever since I can remember. That's why I go back and forth between Alberta and New Mexico so much. What I paint is only Indigenous subjects. I've always been like that ever since I was a very young little person. I love art and Native music, their cultures.
Well, you're going to be going there at a very special time. So, like I said, those physical cities aren't going to be there, and your energy bodies are going to be disappointed. But that's the key to understanding why you're there. You're there to connect to the ancestral beings that are there to be your new spirit guides, because there's going to be a whole new way to reprogram water with ice. And it's the great teachings of the ice beings that are going to come to you. You're going to become like an ice elementalist. That's the way I can describe it.
An ice elementalist?
Yeah.
Wow.
You are going to have special, special psychic abilities when it comes to ice.
Wow.
I would even go as far to say that you will be able to make ice cube trays out of wood, and then put water in them that you've blessed and prayed, and freeze them. And as they come out of the freezer, you go through another set of blessings and prayers. And then you melt them again and freeze them again, and go through several processes of putting in prayers into the program and frozen ice. That place for you to go would be like Murfreesboro, Arkansas, where there's this open crater that people can go and get mines diamonds out of. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. It's a 300-yard-wide volcanic crater that's just in the middle of an open field that's a national park, and tens of thousands of people every year go there and just dig up dirt and find diamonds. That's a magnetic frequency to a special place that you would go, someplace like Serpent Mound in outside of Columbus, Ohio. Very magnetically special place for you. The Bermuda Triangle, believe it or not, Bermuda Island, you would get a tremendous amount of magnetic resonant frequency that would reconnect your heart and soul in this DNA skin suit. So it isn't necessarily just ice in the poles for you. It's the magnetic intensity that comes being there and how you can take it back to other places that are not magnetically intense.
Well, that's interesting, because I have been to Bermuda. I was there a couple of years ago. Again, strong feeling to go there.
Well, I would, if you've got money and you've got time, plan to go to those places. I mean, again, it always comes down to budget, but at this time, do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah.
Live for the adventure. Because in that adventure, you will find a whole new unity and wholeness.
Yeah, that's I love adventure also.
So what other kind of questions do you have?
Well, one question that's been with me my whole life is that I'm adopted, and I've always wondered why a being comes in as an adopted child. Like, what is that all about? That, like, who am I really connected to? I've always felt like a disconnect, actually, and I that's something I've struggled with my whole life.
Okay. I get this question a lot, actually, about adoption and why, how it exists and what it's there for. In your particular case, you were born into a DNA skin suit with a mother and father who had already been separated by ancestral curses, but there was a child that was the result of the ancestral curse. which meant that you were the zero point. That means those two beings, your biologic mother and father, were ancestrally banned from being your mother and father because they brought you into the world that balanced out the karma that took them out of the reincarnation cycle their next lifetime. So it's your birth was a breaking of a curse and accepting of a different curse. And a curse may be the wrong word, but more like bringing you into the loving family so you can be imprinted with a new DNA wisdom that may be significantly different than that of your mother and father, but gives you a much better chance at surviving if you had actually lived with your original mother and father. Vice versa, there are family members get adopted that go into the worst of the worst of the worst because that was the only way the system could figure out how to get them in was to ruin the lives of their parents so that they'd be taken by child services and then put through adoption process. Adoption has been around since the dawn of time where women did not have the ability to take food for all the different families because the men, whatever reason, weren't supplying it. A child was given to someone else that wanted. There was never an unwanted baby. We have unwanted babies now because our culture has been corrupted and perverted so much. You know, you look at child services and the corruptions of that it comes with the way that just the payments are done. That's just ridiculous. It is its own inner system, ancestral karmic curse that's just procreating more destructive souls. But at the same time, very powerful souls go through very powerful tests and come out on the other side. I can't tell you how many stories of people are the tops of their industries now and barely graduated ninth grade and they were adopted and sent through multiple foster cares until they were teenagers, until they made their own. And that's what that soul needed that lifetime. So adoption in general is this all-encompassing way of getting souls to move forward or to get over something that's in their life. In your particular instance, like I was saying, your mother and father, your biological mother and father could not be together and have you raised. That was the price of resolving karma that was very, very ancient. So something that goes back to about 4,500 years ago, just outside of the Angkor Wat region. It had to do with princes and princesses interbreeding.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was an incestual incest. You had very powerful beings in the Angkor Wat area that were still the blue-skinned beings at that time, the Andromedans, the blue-skinned Andromedans, and some of the other ones that are blue-skinned also. And they also had blue blood. And then they began mating with different human beings at the time, and you went from blue blood to yellow blood to full red blood with blue skills in them. There was a time where many, many of the middle yellow bloods were killed off, and there needed to be a way for the blue bloods to survive on this world through ancestral lineage, so they began doing incest with their own members to try to get the yellow bloods back. And this is where your ancestral karma between your biological mother and father is existing. And they had spent 14,000, 13,000 years trying to get you born in their DNA skin suit, but ultimately their price that they had to pay for that to happen was they couldn't be your parents that lifetime.
Oh my gosh, wow. Jeez, really something. Thank you so much. My goodness, wow.
So what other kind of questions do you have?
Well, I think that I've covered quite a bit. I think I'm okay.
Okay. Have you been having any medical issues?
Yes, just recently. Yeah.
What's been going on?
In fact, yesterday I had to go in for a very minor little thing happened. Yeah. And I have had some very severe stomach issues lately.
All right, I'm tuning into your stomach here. All right, I want you to imagine what your root chakra in your tailbone looks like.
Okay.
And then a few inches above that, you have your sacrum. And then a few inches above that, you have your solar plexus. So your stomach exists between your sacrum and your solar plexus. The spot that's that spot between the solar plexus and the sacrum, that's basically above your belly button, is where all of your stomach issues are generating from. This is why you're producing high amounts of stomach acid. Your body has been processing and gnawing away at the at what I call tough dream world beef jerky. You've been chewing and chewing and chewing, and when your body has to come out of the dream world, it's still left chewing the dense energy that you've been dreaming through, because you have been doing missions in your dreams, very special missions. This is one of the reasons you're going to the Beaufort Sea to experience that area. It's because you have a longing to go there. The same reason you have a longing to go to Hawaii. You want to be at the places where the magnetic resonant energies are high, so the greatest form of the spirit you can come out. And this has created a set of body stresses that exist between that, that blank space between the sacrum chakra and the solar chakra. And that's the area you need to work on energetically. That is the small of the back in that area. That is, you know, you've had hundreds of knife wounds from other lifetimes there, but just about everyone has that because it's the most obvious place to stab a person in the back. And these are the types of energies we're trying to heal from, is the situations where you're about to give the greatest gift to the universe and the people, and someone came up behind you and stabbed you in the back. And you have many, many past life memories that are going to be let go of you just making it to the North Pole and be able to scream yes to the silver of the sliver of the full moon and the aurora borealis. I made it, and no one stabbed me in the back.
Amazing. Oh my. Well,
all right, did you have any last questions?
No, I think I'm fine, Andrew. This has been absolutely wonderful.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you quite a bit for coming into the show. It was really, really fun reading you. We had a little bit of sound issues there, but I think it'll be able to be cleaned up and everyone will be able to do it. Thanks a lot for coming on the show. And we're going to be looking at the chat room for some questions here real quick.
Okay. Thank
you. You have a good day.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you. All right, as we're waiting for some of the chat, we are a bit delayed here, so we're waiting for some people to type in questions from the chat. This will have been for about today's reading, preferably, but if you have some other questions, we only got about 10, 15 minutes left in the show before we go on to do some more pre-records today, because we are going to be moving into our green screen studio. That's right, everyone. We've been promising you, but this will be one of the last set of Google Hangouts we do before we are going to be in our full green screen room, and we're going to be having an enterprise-level live stream account. So we'll be sticking around for that, see what kind of questions we got here. Here we go. All right, this question is really good. Is there a difference between witnessing the aurora borealis firsthand? Is there any added live or over pictures? Anytime you are witnessing something live, it is a more intense experience. Why? It's like lightning bolts. If you're looking at a lightning storm versus looking at a picture of a lightning striking a building, you're a part of that live frequency. And part of the art of imagery when you are connecting with the aurora borealis is to allow the mind to create the streamers and patterns. So many people, they're looking at the aurora borealis in pictures and see a fixed image, or they see a satellite image of the Earth spinning over in the aurora borealis. When you're standing on the ground in the magnetic resonance frequency of it, you know it. So to sample it once, absolutely. Get a chance so that when you are back at home and not able to do it, you have the body memory imagery of what it was to be in that awe moment. In that awe moment. So, yeah, there is a great difference between the two. And if you can't do it, it's okay. Begin to look for as many pictures and experiences as you can so you can begin to relate it to yourself. So the next question is here, is while we are on the topic of Canada, can Andrew tell us about the deal with the alleged UFO crash in northern Manitoba? Oh, I can talk about that. I'm going to save some of those answers for this coming Thursday's show at 3 p.m. Pacific time, because we're going to be having the winners of the Remote View show on, and I know some of them are going to be asking, but here's a sample. We are in a space war, and the vessels that are crashing are, how do I describe this? Cabal forces that are trying to leave this world with a massive bank of DNA. And what they're trying to do to get off of this world is figure out a way to use time, conventional matrix fraud time, and in a psychic dimensional drive to smuggle people off of this world in mass in DNA banks. And this has been going on for thousands of years, but now they're using their highest form of psychic technology to alter DNA and get it off of this world. And it's like the rats sinking the ship, but at the same time, it's a fortified Titanic that has never sunk in 52 million years of invasion, knowing that there's a planetary mind that's really not going to let it sink at the same time. So you have these beings that are trying to leave, and you have a quarantine field that's saying, no, you can't leave. So there's a battle, and there's battles all over the world, and I've talked about them before. They're called EB-10-2 blockers. They alter the reality and block a reality from certain types of manifestations happening. Both the good guys and the bad guys use their own versions, because when you block something, you can also amplify something that's not within the blocking field, which allows specific types of dimensional drives that are undetectable to the psychic sniffer units that are built into the quarantine system. So that's the touch on what's going on in Canada. And a little bit more that I can tell you about Canada, they have recovered at least 35 living beings. And we'll say half of those living beings do not have arms or legs. They're more like, how would I describe this? Like a plastic 5-gallon bucket that has mold inside it, that has technological wires plugged into it. And they're sentient beings living in a mold. They're their own species, but they have servant species also. And these are service species who are going through their density upgrades, and the mold can blend with their brain. And so they're not bad things at all. They're actually quite healing. They're called Roxio Tosha. And there's been several other vast vessels that have crashed in the upper Manitoba area that you don't know about yet, because there's subsurface orbital defense systems that went active there when certain types of dimensional drives went active. And this is, again, the cabal fighting its own self there. All right, so the next question here, can our soul predict our death? And can it exit the body prior to death experience to prevent trauma? That is a really interesting question. And when I looked into death and predictions of death, I found countless, countless, countless references to the great monks of every civilization who knew the very moment of their death. And to even answer that question, when you know the nature of your death, you have already altered the death experience and already prevented the trauma. The process of living through the moment of discovery to the moment of death is where traumas are created through expectation, shame, blame, or guilt. So trauma would never even exist from the moment you got your full confirmation that this was your death date, because you would have an understanding at that death moment, contracts are complete. You are released, you're going to the light, you're having your life review, so on and so forth. So the next question, is the Long Valley Caldera in California a magnetic vortex chakra or an air city location of some sort? It is neither of that. The light has actually been in Long Valley, California. Let me describe this. A lot of times when we open up questions like this, we run into having to give you backstory, and you have to understand what that area is. That area is all technology. The mountains were grown from little tiny sand piles. Tens of thousands of people manifested reality, created those mountains, created the volcanoes and the calderas there so that they could mine energy off of the land. When you have a specific type of volcano that's tapped into the essence of the planet, you could have gigantic air cities above that planet, above that caldera or volcano or particular area, draining the energy so the volcano never erupts and it's in perfect union in creation, giving limitless energy to the beings on the surface. At one point in time, the Longview area went through a series of orbital bombardments at about 285,000 years ago, which pretty much destroyed all the technology. But the technology is self-repairing. So as long as there's a living being witnessing its existence, it's self-repairing. So at about 14,000 years after it was destroyed, it became like 30% of what it was. And the leftover ancestral beings who had survived the orbital bombardment in subterranean caves came to the surface with the incarnation process and began to get exposed to the technology again and rapidly created civilizations around it till they could once again manifest air cities that could manipulate the technology, communicate to extra dimensionals, and then they were orbital bombarded again. And that process went through again and again and again. And there are hundreds of places around our world that are the exact same thing. They were self-repairing, and they just kept having to be beat down and beat down and beat down until you finally killed the last observing person that was there. And once there was no observing person there, the reality could then be unmanifested and remanifested into the image of what there was going to be today. And so many people who are connected to those places look for that old residual image and want to connect to the technology, and you can at any moment in time. You just have to know what to do with it. That's the important thing. It's a giant piece of technology that's meant to give you unlimited energies to not just one air city, but tens of thousands of air cities. Then those air cities can go anywhere in the universe, and they have that connection to the unlimited energy. So once we understand the technology and how our DNA interacts with it, the next time that we want to go there, you have to be able to remember what it looks like. It's in your DNA memory somewhere. That's why those places are so attracted to you. Build a rock structure there. Make a little hut out of sticks. Show something to that land that you are manifesting with it, and it will begin to share with you in dream state what it looked like. So once again, you could connect to that different types of technology. All right, so the next question. All right, this is a good one. How does karmic retribution apply to when a being decides to violate a universal law for the good of others? Well, this has been a common theme in Earth, the good of others. It is the most sneakiest way to give your tacit consent to war. So let's look at that. It's the sneakiest way to get tacit consent to approve to war. So when one decides to violate a universal law for the good of others, that means something is being done at a universal level that's violating that of everyone, and that is the nature of war. When we are fully sovereign, prime, individual beings, there is no one that can violate your universal sovereignty and create karmic retribution. So I'll leave it at that. It is its own thing to understand that war exists to create doubt. Yeah. And as long as you're in that machine of doubt, you will never get forward anymore. So we're going to end the show there. I want to thank the caller that came in and for everyone that listened. Thanks a lot. We will be back this coming Thursday at 3 o'clock Pacific time with the winners of our remote viewing show. And they are the ones that are going to be driving the show. They're the ones that are going to be asking the questions. So thanks a lot, everyone. We'll see you back at Thursday at 3 o'clock.